This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد يقول المؤلف رحمه الله نسينا التاريخ اليوم 25 من شهر ربيع الأول 1443 الموافق لواحد الأول من شهر نوفمبر 2021 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه ويغفر المؤلف ويرفع درجته في العينيين. So inshallah we will continue from where we stopped, and I guess today we will be dealing with the saying of the مؤلف وهذا الشرك ينقسم إلى مغفور وغير مغفور. المؤلف says this type of shirk is divided into مغفور and غير مغفور. You remember he is talking about الشرك في العمل. الشرك في العمل is the shirk that exists in the righteous deed of a person. Is it in the deed of a person? When you do any activity in the Sharia, instead of doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, you associate partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that regard. So Ibn al-Qayyim talk about this, and also how much hidden it's this type of shirk. Which is one of the most dangerous type of shirk, because it happens from a person who believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one in terms of creation, in terms of existence, you know, in terms of his activities. This person believes in all of these, you know. So that's why it is not easy to detect this type of shirk, you know. It is not easy to detect it. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, وَهَذَا الشِّرْكُ يَنْقَسِمُ إِلَىٰ مَغْفُورٍ وَغَيْرُ مَغْفُورٍ. You know, it is divided into maghfur and ghayr maghfur. Maghfur is the one that yumkin and yughfar. It is possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive. You know, I mean, according to the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed, He will be forgiven that sin if a person repents and stop and stay away from it. Or in a case where a person dies without repentance and he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him taht al-mashiyah. If Allah wishes, He will forgive him. So this is shirk that is forgiven. And this type of shirk is like riya, you know, like riya. Riya is not an act of worship that is done for the sake of somebody completely, otherwise it will be shirk, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forgive. But the riya is an act of worship that somebody is doing for Allah, but at the same time also he wants to please somebody else. Yeah. وَإِلَىٰ غَيْرُ مَغْفُورٍ غَيْرُ مَغْفُورٍ is the one that somebody entirely took the thing and gave it to somebody where it is supposed to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. You get it? So this one, if a person dies in it, that's shirk. مُخْرِجٌ عَنِ الْمِلَّةِ. The shirk that takes a person out of Islam. وَأَكْبَرَ وَأَصْغَرَ. These are the ones that you divide into two, you know, kabir and saghir, or the bigger and the smaller, you know. والنوع الأول ينقسم إلى كبير وأكبر. The first type of shirk, which is shirk in the أسماء الله وصفاته, you divide it into كبير وأكبر. You have a كبير, you know, big, and also the bigger. وليس شيء منه مغفور. And there is nothing in the first category of the shirk which is forgiven. Whereby somebody think that there is إله مع الله عز وجل. There is another thing to be worshipped apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, this is taking a person away from Islam, and there is no way for it to be forgiven if a person doesn't repent until he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ مِّنْهُ مَغْفُورٌ فَمِنْهُ الشِّرْكُ بِاللَّهِ فِي الْمَحَبَّةِ وَالتَّعْظِيمِ. It is part of it that the shirk that a person somebody has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to al-mahabbat wa ta'zim. Mahabbah means the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have somebody that you love more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which if that person is to command you, you follow him. Even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something, you don't care about that. What you worry so much is how to please that person, even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't want what you are, he doesn't want what you are doing. You don't care. Wa ta'zim, you respect and you glorify, you make something bigger than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you give him the position and the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فأن يحب مخلوقا كما يحب الله. You love a person just like the way you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever that person might be, whether this person is a prophet or is an angel or is your parent, you know, or is your husband or is your wife or is your children or is your father, brother, sister, friends, whoever that person, or government, you know. Yeah, we have some people who love the government more than the way they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as what is done is not going against the government, you know, it's okay. Even if it goes against all the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't matter. The most important thing is not to go against the authority. Yeah, we are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to follow the authority, but in that which is not contrary to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've heard about one of the universities that somebody told me who studies there, I guess. You know, he says everything is permissible as long as you don't go against the government and the university rules. So you can see everything, you know, some of the things that he shared that people see being practiced in the present, ala mar'a min an-nas, you know, in the presence of the people, in the public, in the daylight, you know. He will say, if you're in that place, aren't we, you know, in the last moment of this life, you know, where the Prophet ﷺ said, these things will be practiced in public, you know, everyone will see them, you know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. So there are some people who love, you know, others more than the way they love Allah, or in the way they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ فَهَذَا مِنَ الشِّرْكِ الَّذِي لَا يَغْفِرَهُ اللَّهُ. And this is one of the part of the shirk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never forgive. وَهُوَ الشِّرْكُ الَّذِي قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ فِيهِ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. And this is a shirk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning those people who are involved in it. He says, مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. You have amongst people who are taking other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as andadan, you know, partners, you know. They love them like the way they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the strongest people when it comes to the love in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quite strong. Much stronger than what those people who claim to be loving Allah, but they have somebody who they love the same, in the same way. So please, my dear brothers and sisters, take note on this. It is really necessary, you know, that you must make sure that your heart loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anybody else. That's why this heart is supposed to be for Allah alone. Empty for Allah. Take everyone out of your heart except Allah. That's it. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should exist. Whatever you're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, you love is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anybody else, with no exception. Number two is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have to love him so much, much more than the way you love anybody else apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And loving Allah, loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it doesn't mean you just say I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way we do nowadays, you know. We come and celebrate and do all of these things, but then tomorrow, not even tomorrow, right after the celebration, you know, that's in the past actually, my dear brothers and sisters, right after the celebration, they go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the current time, in the celebration itself also, you have ma'asi being committed. People are committing ma'asi, you know. SubhanAllah, look at how shaitan is playing with their uqul, you know. Even in the celebration, which nobody asked them to do, but no problem, you know. There are some people who think it's okay, it's fine for us to go for this, and they go for this, you know. Right, keep it intact. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about those people who invented things, you know. Allah says, مَرَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَيَتِهَا. They brought it, but they couldn't preserve it. So the real love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not based on celebration and all of these things, you know. Celebration, if Allah did not ask you to do, you have to stay away from it. Whatsoever you are doing, you have to, it's as simple as this. All of these controversies that we're having every year, people have to come and fight, subhanAllah. As if the Ummah doesn't have anything except these type of things, you know. Every year these people are getting us busy, you know. You have people suffering there, you have people committing ilhad, you know. Our children are going out of Islam day after day, you know. Those people, they are snatching us, and we're still fighting for this thing which, if you were to kill that person who brought it up, he cannot never establish it from the Sunnah or the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are we doing then, you know? So a person should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand that religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based on two things, Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever you do, weigh with these two measurements. If the thing is okay, you know, it goes with it, then alhamdulillah. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. If it is not, as a Muslim, you have to stay away from it, even if you like it so much. Even if the whole community, the whole dunya is for it, you know, you have to stay away from it. You have to stay away from it. You know. So what does it mean that you love Allah? You obey, you listen, you submit, you know, completely with no condition. What does it mean you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You submit, you obey with no condition. You know, whatever it is said that this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you follow. You're happy with that, you accept it, you promote it, you practice it, you know, you teach people, you educate your children, your family and everyone to engage in the practicing of that sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the true love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You come and read his seerah, you come and do this and that, but you don't follow him, that's useless. That's absolutely useless, and it's a knowledge that is going to be against you on the day of judgment when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the real love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to obey his messenger with no condition. I guess this is very, very clear. So, and also not to contradict the statement of Allah or the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with any other statement. Yeah, you have some people, you know, yeah, they follow as long as it doesn't go against their interest. When it goes against their interest, you know, they stay away from it, you know. Subhanallah. Even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it, you know. And nowadays you have the liberalists also who will tell you that, yeah, we follow the sunnah if the sunnah makes sense, you know. Subhanallah. What sense they're talking about, you know. That's what I call junoon. That's really junoon, insanity. Somebody who addresses the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, you know. So if I have somebody that I obey that person, you know, in a way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not happy with that, or in a way it goes against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what I'm saying that I love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is fake, you know, is absolutely fake. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. So your business should be following Allah. Your family should be following Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your love should be based on the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثَلَاثَةٌ مَنْ وَجَدَهُنَّ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. Three things, whoever has them, you know, he definitely tastes the sweetness of Iman. أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَهُمَا. To love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anybody else. That's number one. You find yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is nothing you love more than them. وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَى لَا يُحِبَّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. And to love a person, you don't love him for anything except for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. And also to hate seeing yourself going back to disobedience, kufr, you know, just like the way you hate to see yourself being cast in hell. If you have these three things, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you have tasted the sweetness of Iman. You can see all of them are talking about love, you know. So that's how your love should be done. To love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you're truly loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once you get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are done. Idhnillahi azza wa jalla. Inshallah, you will never get into trouble in this life, and you will never get into trouble in the future. Idhnillahi azza wa jalla. There is no way for you to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. You know, the love that is based on obedience and respect, you know, to Allah and following the rules and regulations of the Sharia, and then at the end of the day you get into trouble, never. It will never happen in this way. And once you reach this position, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, you will get the full protection. That's why they said it's not about you loving Allah, because everyone can claim this. And how do I quantify it? You know, I try my best, you know, to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as I can. All of us are like that. But the issue is, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you? How do you know that? Yeah, we didn't have any way for you to for us to know it, unless if we are with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can ask him about this. So, but once you reach this situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Brothers and sisters, you are done. You will get the full protection in this life, and in the hereafter, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, you will be among those people who will enter paradise. Bi salam, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. قال وقال أصحاب هذا الشرك لآلهتهم وقد جمعهم الجحيم. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And the people who are doing this shirk, they will once say to their aliha, their object of worship, those things they're worshipping, they will once tell them. When are they going to tell them what we will be saying now? They will tell them when Jahannam combined them all together. Subhanallah. The place where they will meet all together in Jahannam. You know, they will meet all together in Jahannam. What are they going to tell them? Tallahi in kunna lafi dhalalin mubin. Idh nusawwikum bi rabbil alamin. They will look at the aliha, their object of worship. They will say, Tallah, wallahi, we were misguided. We were in a very clear misguidance. Idh nusawwikum bi rabbil alamin. Because we used to equate you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rabbil alamin. We used to put you equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rabbil alameen. Subhanallah, that's regret supposed to take place here, not in the past, not in the future. You know, a person should reflect here and understand that yes, this is not a good thing to be done. You know, what is the point of regretting in the hereafter after seeing the reality? And you know, if a person goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with shirk, there is no way for him to make a U-turn. Hell is going to be confirmed, and the problem is not just the confirmation of hell, but a person will not be granted ability and opportunity to come out of hell forever and ever. Forever and ever. قال ومعلوم أنهم سواهم به سبحانه وتعالى في الخلق والرزق والإماتة. So everyone knows that they used to equate those objects of worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of creation, in terms of giving them risk, in terms of imata, causing them to die. Yeah, if you look at the history, they usually agree that these can take place by those, can happen by those people. You know, wal ihya can give life to a person. Wal mulk, they have this sovereignty and the kingdom, you know, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal qudra, they have the power and ability like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَنَّهُمْ مَا سَوَّهُمْ I'm sorry, I made a mistake. He says, مَا سَوَّهُمْ They never equate them in the khalq. Those one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking, they don't equate them in the khalq. They don't equate them in the risk. They don't equate them in the imata. They don't equate them in the ihya. They don't equate them in the mulk. They don't equate them in the qudra. They do not say these ones, they look like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these things, you know. Yeah, that's the past, you know. Nowadays, you have those who believe that their aliha, you know, you might find among the Muslims, subhanAllah, who are taking absolutely the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and qudra and ability and giving it to others, if not the creation also itself. Because I heard somebody who said his sheikh, he saw by Allah, he said his sheikh, يَقُولُ بِالشَّيْءِ يَقُولُ لِشَيْءِ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. SubhanAllah, he said his sheikh will just say to something kun and it happens in the same way. But at least in the past they have some limitation. Nowadays the shirk is beyond all of those limits. So in the past they don't say that these aliha are creating like Allah, they have the power like Allah, they can provide rizq like Allah, you know. He says, وَإِنَّمَا سَوَّهُمْ فِي الْحُبِّ وَالتَّذَلُّلِ. What is the equation based on? They equate them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to the love, when it comes to the humility. You get it? وَالتَّأَلُّ. You know, worshipping them, you know. They do have a right to be worshipped like the way they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to them. That's why they get into trouble. They don't claim that they have rububiyyah. They claim that they have some uluhiyyah with them. وَالْخُضُوءُ وَالتَّذَلُّ لَهُمْ And also being humble when they meet them, just like the way they do it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, you can see in some of the religion, subhanAllah, when the monk passes, you know, you can see the way the people are respecting him, you know. As I told you, I've seen with my own eyes when the sheikh, you know, this is not even the monk, it's a Muslim, you know. The sheikh had just come, he was just walking and the student came and they met him. They went to the ground. It's when I saw it with my own eyes, you know. They went to the ground. They put their forehead next to his feet, you know. They make sujood, literally sujood. You know. SubhanAllah. That's exactly what we do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do it for that person. وَهَذَا غَيْتُ الْجَهْلِ وَالظُّلْمِ And this is the peak of ignorance and oppression. فَكَيْفَ يُسَوَّى التُّرَابُ بِرَبِّ التُّرَابِ بِرَبِّ الْأَرْبَابِ You know, how can you equate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, the creator of the turab, you know, how can you make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the creator of the turab, the creator of all of the leaders and the kings and everyone, how can you think that he is equal to the turab? كَيْفَ يُسَوَّى الْعَبِيدُ بِمَمَالِكِ الرِّقَابِ How can you equate the master with the slaves? وَكَيْفَ يُسَوَّى الْفَقِيرُ بِالذَّاتِ الضَّعِيفُ بِالذَّاتِ How can you make this person, the faqir, the one who is literally faqir, poor, and also weak, and also عَاجِز بِالذَّاتِ and also deficient, you know, incapable, al-muhtaj, the one who is in need, you know. But that means this is literally they are like that. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them, you know. That to whom like that, you know. It's not like something arada lahum, then the need comes. No, this is part of their creation, that they are something who need somebody to support them in life. الَّذِي لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ ذَاتِهِ إِلَّا الْعَدَمِ You know, they don't have anything except non-existence. They used to be like that, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them into existence. How can you make them equal with Al-Ghani, the one who is the richest? You know, his richness has no end. Al-Qadir with that, the one who is Al-Qadir. Qadir means able to do everything. And that too, hakadain. It's not like some power being given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or he gained power. No, that's human being. That's the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just like that. Al-Qadir, Al-Ghani, Alladhi ghinahu wa qudratuhu wa mulkuhu wa juduhu wa ihsanuhu wa ilmuhu wa rahmatuhu wa kamaluhu al-mutlaq al-tam min lawazimi dhatihi. Subhanallah. The one that you know, you see the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala min lawazimi dhatina dhawatina huwa al-faqr wal-ajz wal wa ma ila dhalik hadith wa la haraj. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala min lawazimi dhatihi al-ghina. You know, al-ghina means richness, generosity. And that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like that, you know. All the time. Wal-qudra, and his qadir all the time. And he's the malik all the time. And he is the most generous, you know, all the time. And he is the kindest, you know, all the time. And he is the most knowledgeable, all the time. You know, and he is the most merciful, and he is the most complete, you know. How can you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has these qualities, and these are all just to give an example, how can you think that somebody who is like this is equal to somebody who doesn't have all of these or any of these except the opposite, you know? That's why Ibn Qayyim says, وَهَذَا فِي غَيْتِ الْجَهْلِ وَالظُّلْمِ He said, this is the peak of ignorance and oppression. You know, to take the right of somebody and give it to another person. فَأَيُّ ظُلْمٍ أَقْبَهُ مِنْ هَذَا He said, which ظُلْم is worse than this? وَأَيُّ حُكْمٍ أَشَدُّ جَوْرًا مِنْ هَذَا And which decision and ruling is worse in terms of oppression than this one? حيث عادل من لا عادل له بخلقه because that person went and equates the person who doesn't have equal, doesn't have a like, you know, that nobody is like him, you know. How can you think that he's equal to somebody who is not like that? You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have partner. He says, ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. كما قال تعالى الحمد لله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وجعل الظلمات والنور ثم الذين كفروا بربهم يعدلون Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth and he also created the darkness and the light they're both created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala But unfortunately, الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ يَعْدِلُونَ. And those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they refuse to submit to this fact that He is the most perfect, the one who doesn't need a partner. They refuse this, but they equate Him with the objects of worship. قَالَ فَعَدَلَ الْمُشْرِكُ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَجَعَلَ الظُّلُمَاتِ وَالنُّورَ بِمَنْ لَا يَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَلَا لِغَيْرِهِ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. So they are making Allah equal to who? Somebody who doesn't own anything in the heavens or on the earth. You know? And they don't own anything. They cannot benefit themselves and they cannot benefit others also. فَيَلَهُ مِنْ عَدْلٍ تَضَمَّنَ أَكْبَرَ الظُّلْمِ وَأَكْبَحَهُ. Ibn Qayyim says, what an evil, you know, what a strange adl is this equation, which contains, you know, the greatest type of oppression and also the worst type of oppression. You know, you go and equate somebody who is the king with the subordinate, and people will say this is so bad, you know. How can you equate the rich person with the poor? Put them in the same position. Whereas, in terms of creation, they are sharing the same qualities. It's just some favor he has over that one. But it looks so bad culturally for you to make them equal. How do you think about the Malikul Muluk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who owns everything? How can you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a similarity here on earth or anywhere? قَالَ فَصْلٌ وَيَتْبَوَ هَذَا الشِّرْكَ الشِّرْكُ بِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي الْأَفْعَالِ وَالْأَقْوَالِ وَالْإِرَادَاتِ وَالنِّيَّاتِ. And it is part of this shirk, also the shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the actions and the statements. وَالْإِرَادَاتِ وَالنِّيَّاتِ. And the wishes or the wills, and also وَالنِّيَّاتِ, the intentions. فَالشِّرْكُ فِي الْأَفْعَالِ كَالسُّجُودِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. The shirk in the action, like making sujood for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And up to date, we have those people who are making sujood to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالطَّوَافُ لِغَيْرِ بَيْتِهِ. And you have the tawaf going around other than the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have the Shia, they have their own Kaaba in Karbala, which is 70 times more than the Kaaba we go, you know. And you make Hajj to the Kaaba in Karbala, according to the Shia, is better than going to Hajj 70 times. And those ones, they already lost their aql. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring them back to their consciousness. You know, somebody was playing with them, you know. As one of them said, you know, I'm quoting one of them, you know. Quoting one of the mu'ammameen. Yes, the imama. You know, that means one of those, what do you call, shiukh among them. He says that the reason why the Western community who plotted against Islam did not choose the Sunni, because they found that the Sunni religion, the Sunni Islam, is the real Islam. This is his word, you know. He says it's the real Islam. They don't want that. You know, they want something else which they can attack Islam through it. He said they found our approach being a mixture of Christianity, Judaism, Majus, you know. SubhanAllah. I don't know why, you know, some people are still thinking that that is good in this approach, you know. In this Aqidah, you know. This is their Sheikh saying that is a mixture of Judaism, Christianity, the what do you call, the Majusiyah, you know. He said that, you know. And when you go to the that Aqidah or religion, you find what exactly he's saying to be absolutely correct. So they provide something which they call Kaaba, you know, in the Karbala. In the Karbala, so they are going there to make Hajj rather than going to the Kaaba. So you can see, just like that Kanisa which was done by the Abraha to distract people from the Kaaba. So he made the Kanisa in Yemen so that people will go and do their rituals there rather than going to the Kaaba. But it was too late. The love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Kaaba was in the heart of the creations. So that's why nobody was willing to accept him. You know, and the Arabs who were there, somebody went and passed poop in that place, and you know, to disrespect the place. That was the thing that caused him to move towards the Kaaba with the intention of destroying it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him instead. قال والطواف بغير بيته وحلق الرأس عبودية وخضوعا لغيره. And also shaving the hair in the sense of worship. You know, a person shaving his hair in the sense of worship and also humility for other than Allah. We do that in Hajj for who? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do that in Hajj for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a person is to do it for somebody else, this is also shirk. وَتَقْبِيلُ الْأَحْجَارِ غَيْرِ الْحَجَرِ الْأَسْوَدِ. And also kissing any stone or rock other than the Hajar al-Aswad. الَّذِي هُوَ يَمِينُهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. The one that is the right hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. This hadith that talk about this is weak. You know, the hadith that say that Hajar al-Aswad يَمِينُ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ is weak narration. But la'allahu, the sahha indahu huwa ibn al-qayyim, maybe. That's why he is using it. But the hadith narration is weak according to what is mentioned by the Nuqad al-Hadith. Wa taqbeel al-qubur wa salamiha, and kissing the graves. And also touching the graves to take the barakah. Wa sujood laha, and also making sujood to the graves. You know. This is so strange, I'm telling you. You know, this person died, couldn't stop death, you know, for himself. He died, and then somebody goes to his grave, you know, and asking him for some support and some help. What is this, you know? So Allah salam wa afiyah. وَلَقَدْ لَعَنَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ اتَّخَذَ قُبُورَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مَسَاجِدَ يُصَلِّي لِلَّهِ فِيهَا فَكَيْفَ بِمَنْ اتَّخَذَ الْقُبُورَ أَوْثَانًا يَعْبُدُهَا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Ibn al-Qayyim says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam cursed the one who took the graves of the prophets and the righteous people, you know, masajid. He make masjid on the grave of the righteous people, you know. So a person has a grave of a righteous person, so he built a masjid on that grave. Yeah, of course he put it inside, so build the masjid and the grave will be inside. So you're praying in that masjid where the masjid is built upon the grave. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed those people who are praying in those masajid. That's authentically narrated. فَكَيْفَ بِمَنِ اتَّخَذَ قُبُورَ أَوْثَانًا يَعْبُدُهَا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. What do you think about the person who takes the grave itself as an object of worship? If you build a masjid on the grave and you worship Allah in the masjid, you're worshiping Allah in the masjid, that can earn a person a curse. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed that person. What do you think about somebody who is worshipping the graves themselves? What do you think about somebody who worships the graves themselves? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa afiyah. فَفِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ اتَّخَذُوا مِنْ قُبُورِ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the Jew and the Christian, you know. Why was that? Because they have taken the grave of the Prophet as masajid. وفي الصحيح أيضا عنه إن من شرار الناس من تدركهم الساعة وهم أحياء والذين يتخذون القبور مساجد. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, one of the worst type of creations in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those people, تدركم الساعة وهم أحياء, the last people in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the day of judgment. The day of judgment here means the trumpet will be blown and they are still alive. Because if you remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تقوم الساعة حتى لا يقال في الأرض الله الله. The day of judgment will never happen until the time you don't find somebody on earth who is saying Allah Allah. Subhanallah. And imagine, you know, at that moment, that means people are really, really bad, you know, in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the Quran. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says, Yusra ala kitabillahi fi layla. You know, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be taken in one night. night will come, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be taken. Taken means what? It will be removed from the pages. You know, a person will check the one that he memorized, and fortunately he will not find anything. Imagine even Surah Al-Fatiha, you cannot read it at that time. And a person will rush back home to see the copy of the Quran he has at home. That one also is gone. The papers are there, but you will see blank papers. The writing is taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can see how much bad is the situation of the people in way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want his book to remain with them. So that might be the time where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the time where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تقوم الساعة حتى لا يقال في الأرض الله الله. The day of judgment will never happen until the time you see that nobody is saying Allah, Allah on the earth. قال إن من شرار الناس من تدرك الساعة وهم أحياء والذين يتخذون القبور مساجد. And those people who are taking the qabr to be like the masajid. That's why the scholar said, it is impermissible to build a masjid on a qabr, on a graveyard. And actually, not only that, it is impermissible for you to make a masjid and the qibla is facing the grave. You know, you have a grave next to the masjid and you go and make the masjid in the way the qibla is facing that grave. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an salat ila al-qubur. It made it prohibited for a person to pray towards the qubur. You know, you cannot face the qabr. So it's not just making it prohibited for a person to pray in the masjid where the qabr is, even to face the qabr to pray, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make it prohibited. And all of these things, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is doing this to protect the ummah from engaging in the shirk which the previous nation fall into. You know, because in the past, whenever a prophet died, they will build upon his great masjid. You know, a righteous person when he dies, they will build upon on his great masjid. You know? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them because of that. وفي الصحيح أيضا أن من كان قبلكم كانوا يتخذون القبور مساجد ألا لا تتخذوا القبور مساجد فإني أنهاكم عن ذلك. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Sahihain, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إن من كان قبلكم كانوا يتخذون القبور مساجد. Those people who came before you, they used to take the masajid, they used to take the qubur as the masajid. You know, that's when somebody died, they build the masjid on the qabr itself and they pray. So the scholar said, if this happens, we look into the situation. Which one comes first? If the masjid comes first, then we have to remove the grave. If the grave comes first, then we have to remove the masjid, and the grave should remain in the way it is. A person is not allowed to pray in the masjid where there is qabr in it. Yeah, even if he's not going to worship the one in the grave, to pray in that masjid is wrong. To pray in that masjid is wrong. In Medina, subhanAllah, you have people who refuse to pray in any place except behind the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can see space in the first line and there are empty spaces, but they don't want. They go to the place behind in the way they put the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا فَلَا تَتَّخِذُ الْقُبُورَ مَسَاجِدْ فَإِنِّي أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not take the qubur to be as masajid. He said, I'm warning you from doing this. Do not take the qubur as masajid. He said, I warn you from doing this. قَالَ وَفِي مُسْنَدِ الْإِمَامِ أَحْمَدُ وَمِنْ حِبَّانَ عَنْهُ قَالَ دَعَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ زَوَّارَاتِ الْقُبُورِ وَمُتَّخِذِينَ عَلَيْهَا الْمَسَاجِدِ وَالسُّرُوجَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith, he cursed زَوَّارَاتِ الْقُبُورِ, those people who are visiting the grave constantly, a lot of time, from the sisters. And this is one of the reasons why many scholars said going to the grave for visiting the graveyard for the sisters is impermissible because of this hadith. Some scholars said this narration is weak. The one that is authentic is the one that says is the one that says La'an Allahu Za'iratil Qubur. Za'iratil Qubur means the one who Some scholars said this one is authentic. So the one who said this one is authentic, Zawarat al-Qubur, they said it is only applicable on a sister who visits all the time, so many times. Some scholars said no, this narration is not authentic, or it is authentic, but we combine between this and the other narration that says Za'irat al-Qubur. That is another narration that says Za'irat al-Qubur bidun sigat mubalaga. So if you take the Za'irat al-Qubur, bidun sigat mubalaga, then that means ordinary visit. You know, when a person intentionally go to the grave, then she will get into this curse of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, as I always mention, you know, there are some scholars who says, okay, absolutely okay, the sisters and brothers, they're all equal in this regard. Everyone can go to the grave and visit as long as they maintain good manners and attitude and behavior. Whether he's a male or a female, it doesn't matter. The point is to observe that which should be done when a person visits the graveyard. That's it. But, yani, if you look at this issue, the controversy is still on, up to date. What is the point of engaging yourself into a doubt? Because the least you can say concerning this matter, it is a doubtful. You have so many scholars, great scholars, who say it is impermissible, and almost all of them said it is disliked for it to happen in that way. So the question is, what do we benefit, you know, from it if we put ourselves into this doubt? Is it a must that we must go? You know, it is not. And also, by the way, we should understand that they are talking about somebody who intentionally from his house, from her house, who just intended to go to the grave and visit. This is where the focus lies. Not the one, you know, that just passes through the graveyard and decided to stop nearby and say salam to the people. This one is not included in the curse. Sister can pass through a graveyard and say salam to the people. Even if she doesn't have any relative in that graveyard, she can just stop and say salam to them and make dua for them. But what I'm saying is, if this controversy exists among the scholars, you know, what is the point of doing something which is not mandatory upon me, and at the same time I might put myself into trouble? So please do learn from this, from me, this being on the safe side. Whenever there is a great controversy among the scholars and each one of them is having strong evidence to support his side, the best for the Muslim is to stay away from that matter. As long as it is not compulsory and obligatory, stay away from it. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم talks about the Zawarat al-Qubur. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said those people who are going all the time, they will be cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also those people who are taking the Qubur as a place of worship. You know, they sit on it and they put light on it and they also go and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that place. وقال اشتد غضب الله على قوم اتخذوا قبور انبيائهم مساجد. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very strong against people who took the graves of the prophets as masajid. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم ان من كان قبلكم كان اذا مات فيهم الرجل الصالح بنوا على قبره Masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those people who came before you, whenever a righteous person died, they will build a masjid on his grave. وَصَوَّرُوا فِيهِ تِلْكَ الصُّوَرِ. And they make some images, you know, the images of that person, you know, in the masjid. Subhanallah. أُولَئِكَ شِرَارُ الْخَلْقِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. These are the worst type of creation in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. فَهَذَا حَالُ مَنْ سَجَدَ لِلَّهِ فِي مَسْجِدٍ عَلَى قَبْرٍ. This is the situation of somebody who prostrated for Allah in the masjid, you know, that has a grave in it. You know, he is doing it for Allah, not for that person. Because there are some people who are just praying. You don't come for the grave. There are some people who come for the grave itself. But there are some people who are coming here just to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Qayyim says, this is the condition of somebody who prays in the masjid that has a qabr in it, but he's praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are the worst among the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ فَكَيْفَ حَالُ مَنْ سَجَدَ لِلْقَبَرِ نَفْسِهِ What do you think of the situation of somebody who is prostrating for the grave itself, for the qabr itself? وَقَدْ قَالَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اللَّهُمَّ لَا تَجْعَلْ قَبْرِي وَثَنًا يُعْبَدْ The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Ya Allah, do not make my grave as wathan, idol that people are worshipping. And subhanAllah. Up to date, you have some people who do that. And when you tell them you shouldn't, this is what the Prophet ﷺ said, they'll bring to you all kinds of statement and hatred, and they call you so many names, you know. So many names. وَقَدْ حَمَى صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ جَانِبَ التَّوْحِيدِ أَعْظَمَ حِمَايَةً He said, the Prophet ﷺ definitely protected the side of Tawheed with a great protection before he left back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حتى نهى عن صلاة التطوع لله عز وجل لله سبحانه عند طلوع الشمس وعند غروبها. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to protect the janib al-tawheed, he even make it prohibited upon everyone to pray during the sunrise and during the sunset. Why is that impermissible? لألا تكون ذريعة التشبه بعباد الشمس الذين يسجدون لها في هاتين الحالتين. So that there will not be a means, you know, that will link you to those people who are worshipping the sun. You know, there are sun worshippers, you know. They do it when the sun is rising and when the sun is setting. And shaitan comes and joins them in that. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, فَإِنَّهَا تَطْلُعُ بَيْنَ قَرْنَي shaitan. It comes out between the two horns of shaitan. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, don't pray sunnah at that moment, because this is the time when those people are worshipping the sun, you know, and the shaitan. وَسَدَّ الذَّرِعَةَ بِأَنْ مَنَعَ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ بَعَدَ الْعَصِرِ وَالصُّبْحِ لِاتِّسَالِ هَذَيْنِ الْوَقْتَيْنِ بِالْوَقْتَيْنِ الَّذَيْنِ يَسْجُدُ الْمُشْرِكُونَ فِيهَا لِلشَّمْسِ And he told us also not to pray after Fajr and not to pray after Asr. Because these two moments are connected to the time where the sun worshippers are worshipping their sun, are worshipping the object of worship, the one that they make object of worship. The sun belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ وَأَمَّا السُّجُودُ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَقَالَ لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يَسْجُودَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, concerning the sujood for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says it is strictly impermissible for a person to make sujood to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّمَا تَجِئُ لَا يَنْبَغِي فِي كَلَامِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِلَّذِي هُوَ فِي غَيَةِ الْإِمْتِنَاءِ شَرْعًا And this word لَا يَنْبَغِي usually is used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to indicate that definitely what is done is really, really bad. It's really bad and rejected and something that cannot be tolerated in Islam. Like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَنِ أَن يَتَخِذَ وَلَدًا It is not permissible, inappropriate, you know, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have a child. وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we never taught him shi'r, poetry. And وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ And it is inappropriate for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be a poet. وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَمَا تَنَزَّلَ بِهِ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُمْ وَمَا يَسْتَطِيُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this Quran and the revelation is not brought by the shayateen. And it is impossible for them to be those one who will be bringing the wahi. وَقَوْلُهُ عَنِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مَا كَانَ يَنْبَغِي لَنَا أَن نَتَّخِذَ مِن دُونِكَ مِن أَوْلِيَاءَ The angels also told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, it is not permissible, inappropriate for us to take anyone other than you as awliya. So Ibn Qayyim says, when you hear this, la yambaghi, that means something is really going wrong. If Allah is using it, or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is using it, that means something is really wrong to be made in that way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. As I mentioned in the first part of the lesson today, that I have some commitment today. So I will stop the class now, inshallah. I already said in the beginning that I will stop it at 6. So we have 4 minutes left for questions, inshallah. If there is any question, Abdurrahman, do let us know. Barakallahu feekum.
The first question is by Sister Mummy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ameen wa iyaakum.
From part of the Malaysian literature is that if someone crosses a road in front of an elderly person, they would lower themselves a bit, they would lower their head and the body a bit. So is it permissible to do this?
Lowering the body, as some scholars mentioned, is makruh. If you lower the body up to the level of ruku', this is impermissible, because this is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But shaking the head, somebody that shake your head like this to indicate respect or somebody's passing or acknowledgement, inshallah, I hope there shouldn't be any problem with this. But a person lowering his body or going down up to the ruku' level, this is shirk. This is only for Allah. When a person reaches the sujood, that's worse. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq.
Question by Dr. Salina. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I have read a hadith which mentions that one of the reasons Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast 10 days is because that was the day he
was born.
So is it if we on a day we were,
is it okay
if we were to fast on a day in which we were?
Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned two things, and nobody will get these things being combined in him, and as such we cannot do it. Because he says, that was the day I was born, and the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me. Two things. Yeah, we are all born, but are you going to be sent? No. So that means we are disqualified to do that. And also, add to that, what was done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was he fasted that day. Because of two things, or even three things actually, he was fasting. First, he says, because I was sent, and I was born on that day, and I was sent on that day. And also in some other places, he mentioned, don't step on the back. He mentioned that on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing the righteous deed of people. And I really hope that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the angel to bring my deed, he will find me fasting at that moment. So if you look at all of these things, there is no evidence for anyone who is celebrating those celebrations, you know, in this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Get it? So you have to be somebody who was born on that day, and also you are sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How was that? You know? And also when he celebrates, what did he do? Bring cakes and candles and all of these things? It's all childish, you know. I found it, you know, so strange when I see a big person doing this, you know. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do that. He fasted out of the being thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when did he do that? Not a yearly basis. Every Monday and Thursday, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does that. 2 days, not just Monday. Monday and Thursday. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. You know, a person should always try it and link himself to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and don't worry. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, none of them did that. To my knowledge, no companion ever celebrate his own birthday. If they understood from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we should do that, for sure they will be the first people to do it, but they never did. So a person should be very careful in whatever he does. Forget about controversy. This one said halal, this one said haram. Yeah, he just asked the question. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did he do that? No, he did not do that. So why are we doing it? Do we have any basis? We don't have. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did they do that? They did not do. May May Allah grant us good. Abdurrahman, I have to stop here, inshallah. The rest of the questions, inshallah ta'ala, if those who ask the question can follow us in the class of Riyadh al-Salihin, I will answer the questions, inshallah. If not, then I will deal with the question in the next class of Adda'i wa Dawa, bi'idhnillahi azza wa jal. Okay, barakallahu feekum. Yes, Abdurrahman. Okay. Jazakumullah khairan wa ahsan ilaykum fi dunya wal akhirah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. See you tomorrow inshallah with the Riyadh al-Salihin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.